In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Congratulations. Today is the second week of the Holy 50, or the first week after the resurrection. And today the church celebrates Thomas Sunday. And in this feast, as we hear, the church reads for us the story of how our Lord Jesus Christ appeared and showed himself to Thomas. And Thomas was also called the twin. Here also his name was Didymus. And this Thomas, you know, we from previous experience, we know that he had a problem with doubting. And we know in this particular instance, he wasn't here when the first time that our Lord appeared to the disciples. It says, now Thomas, called the twin or Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So initially, on the day of the resurrection, he appeared to his disciples. And then again, 8 days later, which is this incident, he appears to them again. And it says, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. So the first time he wasn't with them, when our Lord Jesus Christ revealed himself to the disciples, and then the second time, which was this week, he was. And we don't know where Thomas went. You know, after Good Friday, when they took our Lord to be crucified and all of the disciples scattered, Thomas was among them. We don't know where he went. We probably maybe went home. He figured, okay, this maybe isn't the person we were looking for. And he had all sorts of doubts maybe. So we don't know where Thomas went. But many of us can really relate to Thomas, and some of us might ask the question, you know, should we blame Thomas for doubting, and should we point the finger at him, or should we thank him? This was a question that St. Gregory the Great proposed. Should we thank him, or should we blame him? And his response, or his answer to this question, was this: the unbelief of Thomas is more profitable to our faith than the belief of the other disciples. So his unbelief strengthened our faith more than the other disciples. Why? Because his unbelief caused the Lord to appear again. And, you know, we might relate to this. We might say, okay, if I was in his situation too, I want evidence. I want to see something. I want something tangible. I want to feel it. So we might be able to relate to them. To those who can relate to him, our Lord Jesus Christ appeared and allowed Thomas to feel and touch. And therefore, his faith was strengthened. And we see something very beautiful here, that our Lord Jesus Christ deals with every particular soul in the manner that is best for that particular person. So for the disciples, they came and they saw him, and that was enough. For Mary Magdalene, maybe it was enough, you know, for her to see him on the way. And she went to go anoint his body, and he appeared to her and heard his voice. And she said, Rabuni, as we heard last week. And St. Peter, who was the one who denied him, our Lord appeared to him and restored again his apostleship and asked him 3 times, do you love me? And the disciples on the road to Emmaus, he appeared to them. They were kind of they liked to discuss things and they liked to understand things. So they were discussing between themselves about what had happened between the crucifixion, and now we heard that there is a resurrection. So our Lord came and appeared to them to discuss with them and to give them what they needed for their salvation. And then finally today we hear of Thomas, who was a doubter, and Christ came and gave him what he needed to strengthen his faith, to believe in him. And actually, the translation of Didymus is twin, and some people say that yes, he had a twin, he was one of two twins. But some of the fathers interpreted this as being that he had like two personalities, which sometimes we carry the same thing. We have the personality that, yes, believes, and you know, we know this is right, but then we have this second personality of, but I'm not sure about this, or I'm not sure about this point, or I doubt this a little bit. So he kind of resembles humanity, or kind of resembles us, who sometimes have doubts and sometimes are very firm in our belief. So what can we learn from this disciple Thomas that unfortunately oftentimes gets a bad rap? We call him Doubting Thomas, and that's all he's known by. But what can we learn from him? The first, that he was a very honest man, and he was very straightforward. You know, he probably was the one speaking on the things that some of the other disciples probably just thought. It's like, have you ever been in a classroom and the teacher says something and you're like, wait a minute, I don't understand, but you're just too embarrassed to raise your hand and ask? St. Thomas was that one person who would raise his hand and ask what it was. One time the Lord was speaking to them about, you know, how he was going to go to Jerusalem, and then how he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And then all the disciples were like, you know, kind of quiet, and he kind of just kind of interjected, and he said, let's go that we may die with him. You know, he was filled with zeal. Let's go to Jerusalem with our Lord and die with him. And he just said it, as if it was almost a prophecy of how all of them would one day die in the name of the Lord Jesus. So he was very honest in his relationship and his desire. And this is something we can learn from him. And in our relationship with God, be honest. If there's something we don't know, tell him. If there's something that we have trouble understanding, tell God in our prayer and try to find the answer to it. Don't be satisfied with just not knowing. It's just like, again, if there's a question that you have in a class, and the teacher or the professor is lecturing, and you don't ask the question, and it's never addressed, lo and behold, somehow it all ends up always making it on the exam, and you tell yourself, man, I should have asked that question when I had the opportunity. So ask the question and be honest with what you believe and your relationship with God. The second thing we can learn is that every soul and every person is precious in the sight of God. Our Lord didn't leave Thomas in this state of doubt, but he addressed this doubt to him. And if we can look, maybe put ourselves in Thomas's position. You know, Thomas wasn't there on the day of the resurrection to see the Lord Jesus. All what happened to him was he heard from the other disciples that the Lord had risen, but he didn't see anything. He kind of probably is kicking himself. I should have been with them. I should have been with them. Where was I? Why wasn't I with them? So he was left for this week, and you can imagine the emotional roller coaster that he's experienced. He had just seen the one that he was following, his master, that he was following for 3 years, being crucified, who he said he was, you know, the Son of Man and the Son of God, and he was going to rise again, who said all of these things. And now, you know, he's left for a whole week without knowing or without believing the other disciples, unable to be convinced, and yet he's fighting with his, yes, but this is what he said, but this is not what I see. This is what he said, but this isn't what I see. So he's in this conflict between himself, and our Lord leaves him for 1 week. But Christ appeared to him, and appeared the second time to the disciples 8 days later for the sake of Thomas. He appeared for the sake of Thomas. So not just the other 10 disciples were precious to the Lord, but even Thomas, who wasn't there, was precious to him, and he appeared to Thomas specifically the second time and told him to put his hand in his side. So our Lord is searching for every single soul. There's not a soul that is, you know, kid, I have 10, I don't need the one. What's one among 10? I don't need him. Christ didn't say that, but as being the true shepherd, he went out after the one that was lost and revealed himself and confirmed his faith in him. The third thing we can learn from this is that when the disciples failed to convince St. Thomas, our Lord did, or our Lord stepped in. Oftentimes we speak to people about God, and what we say isn't convincing, or what we say, they don't believe us when we say it. But the thing we have to do after that is to pray for them, that God will intervene and God will be the one to reveal himself to this person, just like in this time that as he did to St. Thomas. So this is very encouraging to servants, to knowing that I'm putting forth an effort, but if my effort isn't good enough and the person isn't convinced of what I'm saying, then we have somebody else that can convince them and can step in on our behalf to explain it to them and reveal himself to him. And this is our Lord Jesus Christ who steps in for us. The fourth thing we can learn from this is that requests are accepted, but conditions are not accepted. It was okay for St. Thomas to say, I want to see the Lord Jesus again, and I want to put my hand in his side. But it was wrong for St. Thomas to say, unless I do these, I will not believe. And oftentimes we do the same thing with God. We say, God, unless you give me this particular job, then I'm not going to come. Unless, you know, you تخلصتي من الراجل ده والست دي, I'm not going to come to church again. Unless God, يعني, you give me what I desire, I'm not going to come to church and I'm not going to fast and I'm not going to pay my tithes. And we give all of God all of these conditions that if he doesn't fulfill them, then we're not, as if يعني, we're doing a God a favor for coming here. احنا, we're coming for our own miserable souls that need his help. He's, happy in heaven with the rest of his angels, but we're the one in need of him. He doesn't need us, but we're in need of him. So we shouldn't give conditions to God. We shouldn't say, okay, طيب, we've been, fasting for 55 days and we attended Holy Week and we're here every day, every day, every day. خلاص يعني مش مش ما جاتش على الأسبوع اللي بعد العيد على طول. As they say, الأف عيد. It's always kida, yani, people either on vacation or sleeping or not sure where they go. But we shouldn't give kida conditions and excuses for in our spiritual life. The fifth thing we can learn from St. Thomas is that although St. Thomas doubted, he didn't leave the assembly of the Christians. He didn't leave the assembly of the disciples. He gathered again to them the second week after the resurrection. He reassembled to them. He didn't say, okay, I just saw my master being crucified and dead, and he was supposed to be the one that was supposed to deliver us from the hand of the Romans. The Romans are still here, and now the Jews are still here, and now all this chaos is happening. What's going on? I'm just going to leave while I, still have my sanity and while I still have my being. He didn't do that. But he went into hostile territory, into where the disciples were gathered. And it says that they shut the doors, both doors or many doors. So it's kind of like they were in the house. They shut the door to the house. They went upstairs, shut the door to the room. And if there was a closet, they went in the closet and shut the door in the closet. So they shut all the doors on the way because they were scared. It was very hostile. All of the disciples were sought after to kill them. So despite all of this, he still felt the need to be gathered with the disciples. The same thing with us. How do we feel the need to be gathered as one church together on Sunday? Actually, to be gathered together is a commandment that God had given us from the Old Testament. He told them to keep the Sabbath holy. It was one of the Ten Commandments. And now the new Sabbath, the new day of rest, the day of joy is Sunday, is the day of the resurrection. So many people say, okay, it's not important for me to come to church on Sunday. I will just go to church either maybe on Wednesday during the week or on Friday. But this shouldn't replace Sunday, because Sunday is the Lord's day. This is the day that he sanctified. And just as he sanctified the Sabbath day in the Old Testament, He just changed the day from being Saturday to a Sunday because of his resurrection. So we should keep the day of the Lord holy and keep the assembly holy and to gather together. The last thing we can learn from Thomas is that Christ appeared for Thomas, but all were the beneficiaries of this appearance. So Christ, the second time he came to St. Thomas, he came to the disciples. It says he didn't go to St. Thomas in the corner and said, here, look at my wounds and look at my and touch my the wounds of my nails. He didn't do that privately. But it says he came in the midst of them and told them again, peace be to all. And then he told Thomas to come and touch him. Why? So that his appearance would be beneficial to everybody. So the doubt that one person had strengthened, and then God answered his prayer. And then you notice here that God answered exactly how St. Thomas said. St. Thomas said that if I don't touch the nails and put my finger into his side, I won't believe. And Christ came and he said, he didn't say just look at my hands, but he fulfilled exactly what St. Thomas's request was. Come put your hand in the nails and put your finger in my side. Exactly what he requested is exactly what God did. He's just amazing. And he did the same thing with Gideon. If you remember in the Old Testament, Gideon wasn't sure of what to do, whether to go to war or not. And he said, okay, I'm going to put a fleece out and make the dew come on the fleece. And God said, okay. And he put the dew on the fleece. And he said, okay, I'm not quite sure yet. Make everything else have dew except for the fleece. So God said, Hadir, I'll do this for you too. And he did it. And the fleece was dry and everything else was wet. Imagine, God is like, we're requesting and God is fulfilling the request. As if, we're the master and he's the servant, even after his resurrection. What kind of God is this? What kind of God is so loving and is so humble, even after his resurrection, to serve us as man who were sinful and go from him. It's a great God that we worship. So, in conclusion, what can we learn from Thomas, the apostle or disciple? We can learn to be straightforward and to be honest in our relationship with him. We can learn that every soul is precious in the sight of God, and God searches for the lost sheep. We can learn that when the disciples failed to convince the people, Christ himself stepped in. We can also learn that it is acceptable to make requests of God, but it's not acceptable to make conditions for God. Unless you do this, I won't do this. As if he needs us, rather we need him. And we can also learn that we should remain in the assembly together despite all of the external circumstances, despite our troubles that we're going through in our life. We should all come to the home and to the assembly as a place of refuge, as a place of comfort, as a place of support. And finally, that when God works with one person, it benefits everybody. So finally, I want to leave you this with just one thought. Thomas had the opportunity. He was like us. He didn't see the Lord in his resurrected form. And he had the opportunity to believe without seeing and to gain this blessing. We too have this opportunity now to believe without seeing. What is our response going to be? Are we going to be like Thomas, who unfortunately didn't take advantage of this opportunity? Or are we going to take the opportunity to have this blessing of believing without seeing? To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.